Good morning. My name is Bill Kladke, and I'd like to welcome you to today's edition of Living in Baltimore. Our guest today is Ms. Christian Baja, who is Hazard Mitigation Planner for the City of Baltimore's Office of Sustainability. And Kristen's here this morning to talk to us about how to make Baltimore and our lives more sustainable. So, Kristen, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
Thank you for coming this Saturday morning. First of all, for those of our listeners who are unfamiliar, could you please tell us a little bit about the Office of Sustainability?
Sure. The Baltimore Office of Sustainability is really focused on balancing all types of needs for different people and cities and looking at social equity, economic health, environmental stewardship, and basically a better quality of life. So in 2008, there was a 21-member Commission on Sustainability that represents the community organizations, NGOs, private industry, local institutions, and that was sworn in. And from there, in 2009, the Office of Sustainability was developed. Mm-hmm. And a sustainability plan was created that includes 7 chapters, 29 goals, and 131 strategies for Baltimore City to follow in order to be more sustainable. Started with 2 people in 2009, and since then we've grown to 9. So
wow.
We're actually doing pretty good.
So how long have you been with the office?
I've actually been with the office for 8 months.
Ah, so you're a newbie.
I am new to the city of Baltimore, that's correct.
And your background is?
I actually have a background in urban planning and then in science, a lot focused on climate adaptation, climate mitigation, sustainability, and sort of community planning.
Sounds like you're where you should be, huh?
I think so, yeah.
Yes, that's great.
It's a great
city. What does the office do?
Oh, we do a whole lot of different things.
Yeah, I was going to say, with all those goals, it's a
lot going on.
Yeah.
I can go over a couple of the different projects we're working on right now to just give you a quick overview. The Baltimore Energy Challenge is actually one of our programs that's been running since 2009. And that uses peer-to-peer interaction to motivate businesses and students, residents, and communities of faith to reduce their energy consumption. Mm-hmm. And in that, we're training community leaders, both adults and junior community leaders, to conduct outreach. And what we're seeing with that over time is an average of a 6% savings in people's energy usage at home just by taking the pledge and being aware of different things that they can do, such as changing light bulbs or turning off lights or taking shorter showers.
Wow. How can somebody find out more about that? Because 6% means money.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Baltimore Energy Challenge is online. And also, there's a phone number that I can give you at the end of the show to call.
Anytime, please give it multiple times. Multiple
absolutely.
Times.
We're also working with the City School Sustainability Challenge, and that supports youth environmental leadership through green teams. Students and teachers are really encouraged to build curriculum and programs into their schools. And currently, of the 204 schools in Baltimore, 17 are actually certified as green schools through the Maryland Green Schools Certification Program. But there are also many, many more that we're working with. And we provide small grants to the schools to implement green projects such as composting, building wind turbines, looking at urban gardening. So that's also another project working on with the school specifically.
Great.
We've been doing.
Sounds like only 17. There are a lot more that should be getting.
There
on
are
board.
A lot of schools involved. I believe there's up to 90 schools involved at this point, but 17 that are actually certified as green schools through this certification and the Maryland Green School Certification, which is actually pretty good.
So you got about half involved. That's good.
Absolutely, yeah. And our office is doing a great job of outreach and working with the schools. In this past year, we actually just had our climate action plan adopted, and that focuses on reducing greenhouse gas emissions. We wanted a realistic goal of emissions that we could reduce, and so we looked at a 15% reduction by 2020, and that's a strong focus on buildings, since buildings make up over 75% of the energy usage in Baltimore. So that's something we're working with the Sustainability Commission to begin implementation and looking at prioritizations of the actions with our climate mitigation, which is looking, like I said, to reduce the greenhouse gas emissions.
Hmm. How much do you forecast that will help?
How much do I believe that will help?
Uh-huh.
I'm hoping it'll help a great deal. We really got to get out there and get into the communities and working with businesses and residents to, you know, think about what actions they need to take. But it's going to take some time. Obviously, yeah, mitigating emissions is tough. So
yeah. And how have you been finding people who've been receptive?
Pretty good. People have been pretty good about supporting the plan. Alice Kennedy did a great job in our office of going out and working with members of the community and making sure that there were many people represented on the advisory committee with that plan. And we had full support from the Planning Commission, so it was fantastic. And it got adopted, great, like I said, in November of last year.
Great. It occurs to me, excuse me, as it should occur, I think, to other of our listeners, that Baltimore's kind of pushing ahead with this, aren't they? I mean, well, how is Baltimore's effort compared to other cities?
It's different. So a lot of cities have done, like I was just mentioning, the climate mitigation plans. Mm-hmm. What Baltimore's doing now and the project I'm actually working on is what we're calling the Disaster Preparedness and Planning Project. Uh-huh. And that is actually taking an all-hazards mitigation element and incorporating climate adaptation into that. And I can explain it a little bit more. It's a little confusing for people.
Yeah, that's a little bit for me, and I get a PhD with my name there.
Basically, what it is in 2000, the president signed into law this Disaster Mitigation Act of 2000, and that requires that local governments develop and submit what is called a hazard mitigation plan for us to receive mitigation funding after a disaster occurs.
Yeah, I think mitigation's the word that probably thumps a lot of
that in hazards. Hazards is really what we're focusing on there. So what that's doing is that's planning for existing hazards, different disasters we've already seen. What the city here is doing, instead of just saying, oh, we're going to plan on what we've seen in the past, Baltimore is really pushing forward and saying we're also going to plan ahead for what's in the future and what we're anticipating to see with climate change. And that is where we bring in what is called climate adaptation, or thinking about how we're going to adapt to climate already changing.
Like what?
Well, we're already seeing sea levels go up. We're already seeing...
So that means harbor levels
So the levels of mm-hmm. the water at the Inner Harbor and around the waterfront are slowly going up. We're seeing temperatures increase. So actually, last year was the hottest year in the contiguous United States that has ever been kept in records. And they're projecting the air temperatures are going to increase somewhere between 3 to 9 degrees in the next century, which I know doesn't seem like a lot when we just say, 3 to 9 degrees. But if you think about your child with a temperature, if that temperature even goes up a half of a degree, that's a big concern. We need to think about it as going up 3 to 9 degrees is a very big concern.
Especially in July and August?
Absolutely. That's going to be looking at a lot more excessive heat waves and high heat days.
Which means more people having problems with needing to get to cooling centers and all that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I believe it was the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Association, NOAA, said that over the past 10 years, heat has actually been the number one weather-related killer in the United States. It actually has more fatalities each year than floods, lightning, tornadoes, and hurricanes combined. So high heat is a really big thing and a huge consideration for us in this planning process.
Yeah.
We're also looking at things such as precipitation variability, which means not necessarily that we're going to have rain all the time or snow all the time, but that it's going to be these heavy, heavy downpour scenarios where we're going to have a lot of flooding and issues with water quality.
And transportation problems and
pedestrian problems. It's going to impact everything, It's going to flood the roads and take out...
And stop businesses from operating.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So downpours is an issue, and then these sort of long events in between of like drought-like conditions. Although we're not at a lot of risk for drought here, it is going to impact us in the long run with food prices and availability and things like that as well.
Yeah. So what you folks are doing is actually identifying the problems and then coming up with mitigation.
We're identifying the hazards that we've seen in the past and also some of the hazards as they overlap. So if you remember last year when we had the derecho event come through during the very high heat week in July, and it knocked out power. And then there were people without power during 100 degree temperatures for a week or more.
Tough.
Yeah, so we're looking at a lot of those scenarios and identifying and profiling a lot of those hazards. Mm-hmm. We are going through and actually conducting an inventory of all of our critical assets that are important for responding to these disasters, such as hospitals, schools, police and fire stations, looking at infrastructure such as the roads and water supply, wastewater treatment, bridges. And then we are going in and actually conducting what we are calling a vulnerability analysis, which is identifying kind of how these critical facilities are being impacted, the degree to which they're being impacted, and then what ability they have to adjust to those impacts and deal with it in the future.
Okay. Let's talk about how can someone find out more information?
Well, we have information online right now. We're actually in the process of setting up a site, which will be a WordPress site. And that will, I think, be actually going out this week, at the end of the week. And we also are hosting a lot of community meetings that are focused on specific hazards. Certain community meetings are going to be on flooding in areas such as Fells Point or Westport, Mount Washington. In other areas, we're going to have community meetings focused on heat in the urban heat island and what's happening in those communities. And that will, the heat meetings will begin to happen in June, and we'll have those posted online.
Okay.
We also are having a large town hall event that will be coming up. We had one in April, on April 30th, and we're going to have a second follow-up town hall event in the end of June.
Great. And how can someone find out more about those?
Everything will be posted on our website, so the Office of Sustainability website. And there's also information on there about our flood map changes and things that are happening there. So I believe it's BaltimoreSustainability.org, but I will have to double check that.
Okay. A phone number?
Well, it's BaltimoreSustainability.org if you're interested in information about the Disaster Preparedness and Planning Project. If you're interested in information about the flood map changes, there's actually more information online at floodsmart.gov. And then if you're actually interested in talking with me about the Disaster Preparedness and Planning Project, my number is 410-396-5917.
Okay, great.
Yep. My email also works pretty well, which is kristin.baja@baltimorecity.gov.
Okay, wonderful. What can our listeners do?
Well, there's a variety of ways that we can have people participate. Having you attend the meetings, the community meetings and the town hall event, telling us your hazard-related stories. So online on that WordPress page that's going to be coming up soon, we're going to be asking people for how hazards have impacted you in the past and your concerns about the future, providing us with feedback about the recommendations and the plan once we put it online in June, and supporting the plan. And then obviously there are other things that you can do locally, such as getting involved in local tree plantings or identifying the assets in your community that will help you respond and recover to a hazard event, making sure you have a family and community emergency response plan, and also making sure you have an emergency preparedness kit, which includes backup fresh water, flashlight, batteries, and a battery-powered radio.
Great. And I guess they could find out more information by going on the website and
This information is all on the website. And there's also information on the Office of Emergency Management website from the mayor's office.
Great. Great. Let's see. We're just about out of time, Kristen. Just to make sure people have that information, could you give it to us one more time, please, about the Baltimore City Office of Sustainability?
Sure. Just for the website?
Yes, please.
Okay. It's BaltimoreSustainability.org is the website that you can go to. And if you're interested in being involved in the Disaster Preparedness and Planning Project, you can contact me, Kristen Baja, 410-396-5917. And I can also give you information once the WordPress page is up later this week to be able to provide us with feedback.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Unfortunately, for living in Baltimore, that's all we have time for today. I want to thank our guest, Ms. Kristen Baja, who is Hazard Mitigation Planner for the City of Baltimore's Office of Sustainability, for being our guest today. Thank you, Kristen.
Thank you for having me.
Keep up your good work for all of us.
And we will do that.
And keep us updated.
You bet.
For Living in Baltimore, I want to thank you for tuning in. Let's try to be a good neighbor out there in all of our neighborhoods, and we'll see you next time.